And now, from the diamond to the dugout, it's the Twins Nation Podcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host.
Hello, Twins Nation. This is Joe Gunderson, along with Matt Hoffman, back here for another week. How are you doing today, Matt?
Hello, hello. And so far, it's Monday. Everything's going great so far. It's the start of the week, I guess.
Yeah, you made it through a Monday. That's always a good thing. We were talking before. You said you guys are having a little bit of a heat wave. We're supposed to get that here in the next couple days, so hopefully it's not too terrible.
But. Yeah, no, it's like I said, they're talking to like 98 degrees, probably the next couple days, and then with the heat index, and yeah, they're definitely talking. You know, we've got heat advisory going on here, and. Like I had mentioned to you before, I talked to a brother down in Sioux City and Sioux City, Iowa, and they had reached heat index of 117 today. So,
okay.
And I was talking to one of my customers today, and they said it sounded like down in Kansas they shattered a heat index record, like in the mid 120s.
Oh man, no, yuck. But it is August. I guess it's supposed to be warm. It's usually July and August are probably the two warmer months. So,
yeah,
we've had a really cool August here. It's kind of weird. It's been for some reason been 60s and 70s. It feels like most of the month, but I don't know. So.
Well, winter starts.
So,
winter starts sooner up there for you guys.
A little bit. yeah, I don't know when it. I mean, what you guys usually expect as far as winters? It's probably a little milder than us, but I'm sure it still gets plenty cold.
It depends. We're kind of in that. Bermuda Triangle of South Dakota, where Sisseton, and then over to the east, and then kind of down to Watertown. It's some of the goofiest weather you'll ever see. It could be no fog in sight anywhere in the state of South Dakota, except in this triangle area. So they've actually done our local Calland News out of Sioux Falls did a whole story on that, you know, and actually called it like a Bermuda Triangle because it's just some of the goofiest weather you'll ever see. Huh. Just fog wise, it gets so thick you can't even see like the truck stop in Summit, South Dakota. You can't even see the sign that's, you know, for the truck stop right next to the interstate. So, and I've passed by it. I've missed my exit before because it was so foggy. So it's just crazy how it is. So
that's scary to drive in that kind of stuff too. I mean, we've had, it doesn't happen all that much, but we've had fog so thick in town that you can't see the stoplight until you're almost on top of it. So it's, thankfully, that doesn't happen a lot, and it, I don't think it happened in the winter. That'd be terrible. But
yes,
there's your weather report. Yeah. Hopefully, now you'll wake up. let's get into talking about our boys here. Don't know what you thought of this week. I'd say it was. Was okay. They played five games against the Tigers and the Pirates. Would personally, of course, would have liked to see them win all those games, but they went 3-2, split the two-game series against Detroit, and then took two out of three against the Pirates. The disappointment for me was the performance of the bullpen in the Detroit series. They basically blew that second game. Especially, unfortunately, Griffin Jacks really struggled that second game to get anybody. And, the highlight of the Pirates series was, to me, the performance of Dallas Keuchel yesterday. Went 6 1/3 innings of no-hit baseball, and then he gave up a double that was just over the head of Matt Walmer, and at that point he was removed from the game. I guess he was they wanted to get him out just in case that was the sign of anything bad that was about to happen, I guess. I guess he had said, Rocco asked him how he was doing it, and he said, I think he was pretty gassed at that point. But pretty outstanding performance by him, and maybe bought himself another start or maybe a spot in the rotation if they do now decide to go to six men when Joe Ryan comes back, which should be fairly soon as he made a rehab start this weekend. And he went four innings and did okay. He's just doesn't really matter how he did. They just want him to get ramped up so he can pitch again and prove that he's good to go. So,
Yeah, the kind of go back to what you were starting out there with the Detroit series.
Yeah,
I mean, it was good to get one win. It would have been great to get both of them. I mean, the Twins kind of rallied there at the end, but that seventh inning, kind of hurt the Twins. They hit the ball pretty well. I mean, they had in the two games, they've had 20 hits, and scored 12 runs, which, obviously, the hits, the batters were, doing their job, doing what they could to get us, help us and get a victory. But obviously, like you said, the bullpen kind of let us down. And then, as far as the Pittsburgh series, it went about what I thought it would. I figured we could win two out of three. I figured there would be one game that would be kind of iffy. I thought more if we were going to lose a game, it was going to be the Keuchel start, but it obviously did not go that way. And tip your hats to Dallas Keuchel. I mean, whoever thought that, he would have put up this kind of performance,
No, right.
And, I was discussing this with, with my dad, we were kind of discussing, it's like, what do you, he asked me my opinion on it, and I thought, well, I think he worked himself into at least another start or two,
Yeah,
and I know they're talking about, the whole talk of possibly, going to a six-man rotation just to keep him up with, or keep him in the rotation. And I don't like the idea of the six-man rotation, but like I said, I've never been a fan of the six-man rotation. Hopefully maybe we could find a spot in the bullpen, which obviously a struggling bullpen right now. Think he could definitely help out in one way, as being some type of long relief spot. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see when Joe Ryan comes back and, what what they decide to do with him. I honestly think that he's definitely earned some type of role for right now. He's earned a role on this team.
Yeah. The concerns you have is that, you know, of the three starts he's made, there was two pretty good, and then the one terrible one. And unfortunately, the one terrible one is the only one he's pitched against a team that's competitive.
Yeah.
So that worries me still. The Pirates, and I forgot who his first start was against, but the Pirates, they're not going anywhere and haven't been for years.
I'm
not saying they don't have any talent, but they,
yeah, no, young. No. I mean, you could debate that, you know. That's why I said, you know, made that comment last week when you asked me how I felt about it. I said, you know, give him another shot. I mean, yeah, it's going to be against a team that is struggling, or, you know, a team that's just right now is below average, but there's still a lot of good, decent young hitters on that team. And, you know, like I said, I think he did. I mean, they're definitely better. That team is definitely better than a AAA roster. You know, I don't care what anybody says. Even Oakland roster is, you know, their lineup is going to be better than a AAA roster. You know, maybe not all of them, but a good chunk of them. You know, you're pitching to professionals. Yep. You know, so you can make that argument, you know, that, oh yeah, it was against Pittsburgh, somebody's not very good. Or you could just make that argument that, you know what, he went out there and he did exactly what he needed to do. He had a great game and deserves another chance.
I mean, and also, I mean, it was, he had a perfect game going. So,
yep.
Now, I don't care who it was against. Usually, you know, that
doesn't matter.
I mean,
and that's everybody another makes thing. Mistakes,
so.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing. And he was, he admitted, you know, like, you know, when he got taken out at the end there, that, I mean, his arm was, you know, his arm was just, it was dead, you know, and we didn't expect him to, you know, pitch seven innings. I mean, to me, if you can get good five good innings and maybe a sixth in, you know, get six innings out of him a game or two, I would be very happy with that. So, because he's just not that pitcher that he used to be.
But, and I mean, he didn't start. You know, he wasn't playing in games until whenever the Twins signed him. You know, he had only made three starts with the big league team, and I don't remember how many starts he made in AAA before they brought him up. Couldn't have been more than five. So
yeah, I'm thinking five also.
And it was, so, you know, he's in basically April shape.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, for him to go five or six innings is about as good as you can expect, and he was rolling. So it's kind of become a funny thing with him, just because he's at a point now where, and he's never been a big strikeout guy, but he took it to the nth degree in that his first two starts, he didn't get any strikeouts, but he finally got a couple this start, and he broke the Twins' franchise record for consecutive batter's face without striking one out. He absolutely shattered it. He faced 42 hitters before he struck one out. Previous record is actually not held by a pitcher. It's held by a position player. Nick Gordon faced 25 guys before he struck one out. But, and by an actual pitcher, as Aaron Gleeman, this is notes from Aaron Gleeman of Gleeman and the Geek and the Athletic. The Twins record by a pitcher is 21, so he more than doubled that.
Wow.
Or he went 42, so that'd be double that amount before he struck a guy out. So just a kind of a funny note. He's definitely a pitch to contact guy to the
end. Yes, he is.
I think would have loved Nick or Rick Anderson, previous Twins pitching coach, would have loved him.
Yeah,
he was all about pitch to contact.
But yeah, no, like I said, he's going out there like everybody else on this team has done. You know, he's gone out there, you know, to, you know, fill a need. You know, like right now, Joe Ryan's hurt, so he's the next guy up, and he's going out there and doing what he can to help contribute. Yep. So, just like everybody else on this team, so.
He's done it. And he's done it two of the three times better than I think we could have asked. And hopefully that one time won't happen again. We'll find out. I'm guessing his next start will be this coming weekend against the Rangers, unless something changes. It would have to be, because so they've got the Rangers and the Brewers this week. They play two games against the Brewers and then four against the Rangers. It'll be kind of a big test week for the Twins, see just where they're at, playing two teams that are in first place and rolling right now. So, they got, other than that, they kind of got a scare. Was that Friday night? Matt Wallner somehow got hit with a pitch and somehow escaped getting his hand broken. Looked for all the world that might have been the case, but thankfully no fracture. And they had even posted initially that he was going to be in the lineup the next day, but then he told Rocco, no, it's too sore for that still. He took right off, kind of like a pinky. And then there was a great quote by Rocco. Said, his bones must be made out of cement.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. That could have been really, really bad. Thank heavens that, you know, that nothing, you know, that all it is just, you know, maybe some, you know, a little bit of soreness and some bruising. But yeah, that definitely could have been a lot worse. And we have seen it happen a lot worse with, you know, with Buxton, you know, taking a ball right to the hand, and, you know, then he's out for however long.
Yeah, and even Correa last year broke a pinky or one of his fingers because of the same thing. And so, I mean, there's no shame in it, you know, 90-something mile-an-hour fastballs, probably going to break something.
Oh, yeah.
As fragile as a bone. So, a hand bone. So, the fact that it didn't is just quite amazing, actually. But thank goodness, because he's one of our hotter guys. And hopefully, and you know, he was back in the lineup Sunday. I had one day off and back in the lineup, and hopefully he's good to go from here on out. And people will pitch and stay away from his hands, please. And it just seems like, you know, when it happened, like, of course, us Twins fans, a lot of us, unfortunately, are pessimistic. And especially when it comes to our prospects, because they seem to always get hurt, when something like that happens, you're like, oh jeepers, here we go. And but thankfully he's escaped thus far with that one. So that was good. Speaking, you had mentioned Byron Buxton when we were talking about that, and looks like he's on the road to recovery. No official timetable yet as when he'll be activated, but they're talking now that whenever he is activated, he'll probably go through a rehab stint of some sort because it's been a while now. Get him some his hitting timing and it sounds like they're gonna finally try some games in the outfield upon his return, that's good news to hear if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree. I hopefully everything, you know, goes to plan if that is the case. I mean, we've hopefully there's nothing that backfires because to me, this is the only way that Buxton's going to be any type of contributor to this team is if we have him in the outfield. You know, his hitting is definitely not been, you know, I know his hitting has not been that great. In the DH position. And we've discussed many times that he is holding up a very, very important position, you know, when he was in that spot. And I think, to me, the best way we can get any type of production out of Buxton is obviously putting him back in the outfield. Does it, you know, yeah, it will probably make his chances of getting hurt maybe that risk a little bit higher, but at this point, you know, you got to do something. I mean, that's the only way we're going to be able to use him is to have him out in the field, and you know, hopefully he'll have his few games where he hits the ball a little bit, and then then he'll probably struggle again a little bit, but as long as we're getting some consistency defensively out of him, I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to be, we've stressed it all year. You know, you just can't have a DH that barely is hitting 200. And that's what he was doing all season. He showed some power. But, and they did it. You know, they tried him at DH to keep him healthy, and unfortunately, even that hasn't worked. He's missed quite a bit of time because of a bad knee, and now was it a hamstring that he's recovering from. So, at this point, if he's gonna continue to struggle at the plate, like you said, if you're going to get anything of value from him, let's see if you can get some defensive value out of him. I mean, he has a gold glove winner, a platinum glove winner, hopefully he can at least do that and not plow into a wall at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, and, it's nothing against... And in my opinion, it's nothing against Michael A. Taylor. Taylor has done, a very good job, filling in that spot. But, he was definitely not brought in to be that everyday player. And he's never been that everyday player. And basically, if we can get Buxton back, that'll, put a smaller role on Michael A. Taylor having to be out there every day, to where he's maybe out there once or twice a week or just, depending on how Buxton does. And then, then it obviously eliminates having to put like Willie Castro out there, which, some of us would be probably a lot pretty happy or would be totally okay with that.
Really did surprisingly good though.
He did, but I just don't think he's just not that consistent. He's just not that consistent center fielder. He's that guy that can go out there once in a while and fill in a gap, but not again. I mean, he shouldn't be relied on as much as he is to play that position.
No, and mainly because he really doesn't have the experience out there.
No.
You know, he's a utility player, so obviously he can play out there. And the more he does, the better he's probably going to get. And, but he, you know, Byron Buxton, that's his position. You know, that's why he's making the big bucks. And, you know, like I said, and he's a Gold Glove winner. That his strength is playing defense above anything when he's healthy and able to do it. That's why his calling card. So he would be the best option when healthy. Michael A. Taylor would be the second best option, and Willie Castro the third best option probably. That's the way we hoped it would have been all year. Just hadn't been that way. The other two, Taylor and Castro, have filled in admirably, especially, I mean, you look at their batting averages and you would be like, what's the big deal? And you're right in that area, but Michael A. Taylor made up for it with great defense and surprising power. Got 16 home runs, which is second most he's ever had in season. You know, he just wasn't brought in just for his bat. He was supposed to be a backup outfielder to probably play all three positions out there, but especially backup center field when Buxton couldn't, or when Buxton needed a day. Happened that he needed every day.
Yeah.
Until now, hopefully. So we'll see how that goes, and hopefully we have good things to see and hear about that. That's my feeling on that. Hopefully everything goes smoothly there. We talked about the week ahead. It's going to be one of the tougher weeks of the season, I think, this coming week with playing two first-place teams.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Milwaukee, who is, I believe they're still sitting in, they're sitting in first place, three games ahead of the surprising Cubs, who've kind of come on lately. You know, and then Texas, who has definitely been one of the most surprisingly talked about teams. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we kind of figured Texas would be good, but we didn't expect them to be this good. You know, they're right now they're holding a. What's that?
Oh, sorry. I guess I still figured Houston would be above them, but as of right now, they're not.
Yeah, you know, Houston, who's got a 2.5 game lead over, you know, or the Rangers, who have a 2.5 game lead over Houston. And yeah, I mean, then you got Cleveland, you know, coming up too, who, you know, it's another division game, and we haven't exactly played our best baseball against division or against our division opponents. So, you know, the Twins definitely are going to have their work cut out for them this week. Hopefully they can just continue to play, you know, as decent as they have lately. You know, to me, I mean, they've played really good. They've built a decent lead on the Guardians. Hopefully that lead is still four to six games when they do meet Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, that when we do get to start playing Cleveland, that we can kind of, you know, put that nail in the coffin, you know, win a couple games against them. So,
yeah, it's like you said, it's just so weird, or, you know, I guess through the last couple decades, I guess, kind of got used to us being able to handle our division opponents pretty well, especially the lower ones, which is usually the Kansas Cities and the Detroits. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, we just did not handle the Tigers this year. Ended up with a losing record against them. And it's really odd to say, like, thank God we don't have to play them anymore.
Yeah, actually, I will agree with you. I'm very glad we do not have to play them anymore this year. It
makes no sense. Why?
You know, before, and I assume we still play the White Sox at least one or two more times. Am I correct or am I incorrect?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we got to play them. I'll look that up for you if you want to finish here.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're done with Detroit, but I don't think they're done with most of it.
Okay. You know, and that was another team that, you know, before the trade deadline, you know, I definitely worried about playing that White Sox team because, you know, right now they're not doing that great. They weren't doing that great before the trade deadline, but on paper they had a team. They had a very good team that just wasn't meshing together. But now I'm not as worried about playing the White Sox, but yeah, it's just weird that Detroit's just had our number this year, and it seems to happen. And, you know, like last year, Cleveland had our number. Yeah. You know, and then I'm sure there's been years in the past when Kansas City had our number, and it's, you know, other than them having our number that one series, which I'm not going to take anything away from them. They definitely played their best baseball of the year against the Twins. It just kind of sucks it had to be them, but.
Yeah. Just looking. Twins play the White Sox. Well, I guess only one more series. And it's in September, mid-September, four games in Chicago. So mid-September they have to play them. So the rest of August is basically, we covered it. They've got of course the Brewers and the Rangers, and then they've got Cleveland, and that finishes out August, and then September looks kind of tough. They got the Rangers again, and then they've got Cleveland, and then the Mets. And then the Rays, that one, they're always a team. And then they've got.
And
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Then they got that White Sox series. Then they've got the surprising Reds, and then Angels and A's and Rockies to finish the season.
Yep. Yeah, actually, and I just ordered my tickets for the Angel series, so.
Oh, yeah.
So, I will be at least attending one game there on that weekend the Angels come to town. I'm not 100% certain if I'll go to a second one, but definitely one for sure.
So
we'll just see how my schedule works out.
Yeah, hopefully you'll at least be able to. Shohei.
Yep, I will be in. I'll be in left field, row 9. I don't. One of the sections in left field. I'm not 100% certain which section it is. So I just know I'm in left field in row 9.
Okay. Kind of some bleacher seat sounds like. So that's cool.
Actually, those are comfortable bleacher seats. So I've sat there before. So.
I've sat, I think both third and first baseline, and where did we sit the one time? I think I sat to would have been the center field sign with the Minnie and Paul. The Minnie and Paul sign would have been was to my left.
Yep.
Center left field in the upper deck.
Nice.
Once back in the and that's if anybody's seen the picture that we've got for the podcast that I took that day. So
cool.
Thought it was a cool shot. Because it was a night game, and so the sign was lit up. And so. But yeah, so Twins got not scheduled now, I don't think. Could be worse. I mean, thankfully, the Mets are a mess, and Rockies aren't good, and the Angels aren't that good. The Reds and Rays kind of scare me. Guardians, we never seem to play that well against them. So.
No, like I said.
Yeah,
like you said, I mean, you know, the Reds are struggling a little bit right now. They're only a few games above 500. Obviously, they got passed recently by the Cubs, but, I mean, it's still a good team. You know, still a good young team, and that was definitely a game I wish I could go watch. I'd like to see all them young players play. So, you know, like Spencer Steer and De La Cruz and what's that?
The two guys that people say could be twins.
Yeah.
And Encarnacion.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Like, but at the same time, we'd be like, well, where would they play? They're infielders. Tons of those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They'd definitely be an even bigger logjam than it already is.
Yep. We don't even know. I don't even know now what they're going to do with Miranda or what his status is. We haven't heard word one. Him since putting him on the injured list many weeks ago. An update that shoulder must be really sore or something because he's not even playing games yet. So I don't know what's going on.
I
don't know what his future with the Twins would be anyway.
Yeah, because he's been out almost over a month, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you exactly when he went on the...
Because it says here, his injury date was July 9th.
Okay, yeah. It's the first. So, yeah, it's been over a month. And definitely haven't heard anything. I don't... And like I was saying, even if he... was coming back or, you know, rehabbing or whatever. I don't know what fit in this organization now. With his struggles, he played himself kind of off the team, and they've got guys in AA and AAA who I think may have surpassed him there. So.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. He's
probably a prime trade candidate here now.
That is a good possibility. You know, like I said, I think pretty much him as a third baseman is pretty much been wiped away.
Yeah.
I think he would definitely be more of a first base DH option. But even that's... Even that could be a reach. So yeah, and you could be true. You could be right. I mean, you know, there may be a chance that we could be shopping him in the off season. So I'm, you know, but like I said, it just depends on what's going on for sure with his arm. You know, like I said, we haven't obviously heard nothing, and I don't hear much of anything. You know, I haven't heard any of the other podcasts, you know, Twins podcasters, you know, talking about it. So, and I guess it would be, hopefully maybe we'll find something out here in the next week or two, because, you know, with September coming up, you know, that's, you know,
get a couple extra players.
Yep. Couple extra players. And, you know, what does that mean for some of these guys that are on the injured list? And, you know, I mean, are they going to be able to come back, or are they going to have to, you know, sit longer, or, you know, I mean, it's just, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and that, I mean, yeah, we haven't heard anything about, you know, Alex Kirilloff either. Like, where is he as far as the soreness, or what was wrong with him now? It wasn't his wrist again, though, was it?
It was not his wrist. It was
a leg injury.
His strained shoulder.
A shoulder, that's what it was. That's right. That's right. And sounded pretty mild at the time, I thought, but that's been a few weeks now, and I haven't heard, you know, there's hasn't been anything said as far as where he's at and what's going to go on with him. So hopefully maybe he'll be one of those guys that is ready by September. And then Willie Castro would also fit that bill, because he's trying to get over a strained oblique muscle. They said it's a mild strain, so they made it sound like, to me, it made it sound like, oh, he'll be out the 10 days and maybe be fine, but who knows with obliques. Those are tricky things from what I hear. I don't have any, so I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, boy. But, yeah, like I said, it's just, you know, it's hard. It is. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, not only with just the hitters. I mean, you know, what's the deal with some of, you know, or, you know, some of these pitchers that we have, you know, on the injury list. I mean, other than, I think Joe Ryan's probably the only one that's really going to come back. Because I assume Alcala's out, Jorge Alcala's out for the year.
Yeah, I think we knew that right away.
Yeah. And then Brock Stewart is just dealing with the, is it just elbow discomfort? Or did his turn into something more serious?
I thought, was it an arm injury? Why do I think he had a strained oblique himself?
Yeah, I don't know. It's listed as an elbow discomfort.
Oh, there you go. That's right. I'm sorry, people. Yeah, I haven't heard. They haven't said it's anything serious, but they also, you know, I guess, you know, there was a point that I think he was doing some things, but then he had a setback, and of course they don't say exactly what that means, but there's worry maybe that he won't be back until September, or if at all, which would be a huge loss, because he had turned into one of our most reliable bullpen arms by far in a short time. And not having him has kind of thrown guys into roles that they probably shouldn't be in. Just as was the case when we lost Thielbar, who is thankfully back and is the left-handed guy in there that we need. And, you know, especially now with Giovanni Moran having been demoted because he can't consistently throw strikes. That if he can get that back, then that'd be a big boost. You know, if he
most definitely.
So yeah, it's kind of in flux there. And I don't know. I don't know who else we're waiting on. I think those are the.
I think that's about it because we got a lot. I think that's about it because we have a lot of guys that, you know, obviously Paddock, Malley, and Candelero are all having Tommy John injuries. We know Nick Gordon is out for the probably out for the year with the fractured shin.
Yeah, I guess sure feels like it. We haven't heard anything about him as far as healing. And so, yeah, I guess I would assume he's not coming back this year. And I'm starting to think his Twins career is probably done. Hate to say it about a guy, but that was he'll probably go down as one of the major disappointments. Because the Twins probably, it's the Twins' fault, really, because they drafted him probably too high. You know, he was a number five overall draft pick when he was drafted. And, you know, for a guy who turned into a super utility guy, that's not when you draft those guys. You know, they obviously thought he was going to be better than he turned out to be.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
So, not necessarily his fault because he has shown that he has some talent. He just turned out that he wasn't a guy who was going to be an everyday starter, which is what you hope to get when you draft a guy that high. And so, yeah, but and just because he is a guy who, you know, he plays positions that we have kind of a glut, I think his career as a Twin will be over. Be interesting to see if the careers of Jorge Polanco and Max Kepler, if their careers as Twins is over after this season. It's looking more and more likely that Polanco probably is. But there's now there. I mean, there's questions up in the air whether or not Max Kepler's will be. You know, beginning of the year and most of the season, we certainly were saying it would be, but now he's gotten hot and you know, they've been hitting him third the last few games. And, you know, I don't want to say that he's indispensable because he's just as likely to me to turn into that 200 hitter again. And so I don't know if you want to, I don't know if you want to bring him back or not. You know, if he's going to play though, you know, you can't, I just think they won't. I personally wouldn't, and I'll take it in the, on the chin if it turns out that he's finally figured out how to hit major league pitching on a consistent basis. Good for him, and I'll be okay with that. Making it look bad because we gave him about 8 years to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't feel any more different than I did before. I mean, you know, it's great that he is, you know, hitting the ball better now. I mean, he's batting .241. You know, he's got 20 home runs.
Yep.
With a, you know, 303 on base percentage, and you know, and his WAR has gone up. You know, he's over one. He's now at a 1.3. Mm-hmm. But it's just still, it's just, it's not the money. It, you know, it's just not. I can't see the Twins paying for that kind of player who, even with his highs and lows, is a very mediocre player.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I don't know if I'd call him mediocre. I'd say he's average too. And he's played above his norm, definitely the last month or two here. Still, you know, but I think, you know, they're going to probably, I would think they would move on and give, you know, Matt Wallner's shown enough to me in the limited duty he's gotten that he knows how to hit major league pitching. And it's going to be more consistent than Max. And, you know, yeah, we're probably not going to see the outfield defense that Max can bring, but I think the power, the bat potential probably will outweigh that. And
oh, yeah, most definitely. And, you know, and that's the thing. Wallner has, to me, his ceiling is so much higher potentially wise. You know, his ceiling is can be so much higher than what Kepler is, because to me, and I'm going to use this terminology again, his career is plateaued. You know, he never kept going up. You know, he pretty much, he was on the rise and then he just pretty much leveled off right there, you know, and he just didn't live up to what his potential should have been, my opinion.
Well, I think everybody would agree. You know, and how many years do you give a guy to get up there? And like I said, it's been 7 or 8 years, and he's had, you know, this will be, I think, the second or third best season he's had, and it's nothing, you know, it's okay, but it's replaceable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And his best season was 2019, and everybody's saying that was the year the ball was juiced.
Yeah,
and there's, I guess they've got evidence that it was. And everybody on that Twins team was hitting the ball out of the yard that year too. That was the Bomba Squad year, as everybody would know. And it seemed like he was superhuman against one pitcher. And then he was okay against the rest, but for some reason he was Trevor Bauer's nightmare.
Yeah. And like I said,
a man who's not in the league by his own doing now. So
yeah, and he's pretty much, he's, his career average is, he's a .233 hitter with a .316 on base. That's about almost, I mean, right now his batting average is a little higher than his career average, and his on base is a little lower than what his career average is. But I mean, this is what he is. You know, do you really, I mean, like I said, do you really want to throw that kind of money on a guy like that? I think if there was a, you know, I would say if the money was about half that, I would maybe consider it.
Right.
You know, but no, you don't want to pay that kind of money for that kind of player.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, man. It's time to move on, and
yep,
there are plenty of other players. You know, obviously, we think Wallner's going to be the heir apparent, and there's probably guys in the minor leagues even that they would be okay with giving a shot to now too. And speaking of the minor leagues, I haven't looked. Sounds like Brooks Lee is doing just fine in AAA.
I don't think we'll see him this year, but wouldn't be the most surprising thing either. Oh, shoot, I forgot the name of the guy. Was it? And it's, I think it's the Angels. That they're bringing up a guy they drafted in June, and he's good.
Baltimore.
Huh?
Baltimore.
Oh, it is? Okay. How about that? The guy just drafted is going to make his major league, or maybe already has, making his major league debut just months after being drafted. That's just crazy.
And I assume you're referring to Jackson Holliday, correct?
No, Jackson Holliday was drafted last year. I'm talking about this June,
months ago. I thought we were talking about Jackson Holliday. My bad. I was not listening, apparently. You're probably right then, whoever you're talking about.
And from I believe the Angels, they're going to bring up, or probably already have by now. And I should have wrote down his name, but.
I can find it here real quick for you.
He was just drafted in this past June draft and already ascended. So I don't know if that speaks to how well he did or if that just the Angels are hurting that bad that they're already bringing a guy up.
Let's see here.
Kind of foolish.
Do you remember? Was it a pitcher or a hitter?
He's going to be he's an outfielder, I believe. Yeah, so he's a hitter. I don't remember his name at all, obviously.
Right here. He's a first-round pick, correct?
Yep.
They have him listed as first base. Chanel.
Okay.
I'm horrible at pronouncing names, so please don't go with that.
Well, if he's good, we'll hear about him, and we'll learn how to say his name then. But, yeah, I don't know. Just you never see that anymore.
No, and even in Jackson Holliday's case, the kid was drafted last year out of high school, and they're talking about bringing him up with Baltimore.
Okay.
And he's 19 years old. So, so that I know that's been talked about. So that's what I thought you were referring to. So, I think that's awesome. A guy drafted just this year. Obviously, he at the age of 21, and he's almost 22. He's obviously came out of college, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
But just to move up through the ranks that fast and, be all of a sudden be ready to play. I mean, that's awesome. I hope everything goes good for him. So
you just hope that the team isn't wrong about it and screws up his career. That's what you worry about when you bring up a guy that quickly. And hasn't even gone through. I can't imagine he went through all the levels that quickly.
No, but they also have a lot of injuries right now. I know they got, Max Stassi, their catcher's on the injured list. Obviously, Anthony Rendon. Zach Neto is hurt. Gio Urshela's hurt. Joe Adell's hurt. Trout's on the injured list. Taylor Ward and even CJ Cron, who is their first baseman, is hurt, so they got a slew of hitters that are on the injured list. So might as well do it, you're trying to stay, they're trying to stay within, above 500. I think they're pretty much, there's no way. I don't think they're going to be good enough to make a wild card. Cause if I remember right, the Mariners are in the last wild card spot and they're eight and a half games. Yeah. They're 8.5 games ahead of the Angels. So, I mean, But, you know, why not? You know, just let the, you know, let that kid come up and see what he can do. I mean, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, you know, bring the next guy up.
Yeah. You just, like I said, the only thing I'd worry about is screwing up. You don't want to screw up his career.
Yeah.
Making him go up too fast. So hopefully that's not what's going to happen here.
Yeah, but the good thing is that with a young guy like him, he's still plenty. He can, you know, if things don't go right, send him back down, you know, build him back up again. You know, I mean, he's young enough to where, you know, he could still have a productive career if it doesn't go right the first time. So,
yeah, you hope, you would think so. You just hope that they don't screw up. Just kind of a crazy thing that I saw. What else do we want to talk about? That's mostly what I want to talk about. I did want to make a mention of a kind of a sad thing for people who've been anybody who might be listening that's been a Twins fan for many years and suffered, shall we say, through the from 1992 to 2000, that era, there was a player that used to play on the Twins for a couple years that passed away this week. And I don't think it was expected. I don't know the cause of death. But a guy named Alex Cole, for anybody who might remember, he played with the Twins a couple of seasons. He was 58 years old, and he passed away this week. Just sad to hear that. You know, kind of pretty young for that to happen. He is the kind of player he was. He didn't really have any power. He was a speed guy. Back when they stole bases, he was one of those. He would steal like 40 to 50 bases a year. Back when that was in vogue. He caught the last out of Scott Erickson's no hitter, actually. Back in the day. So, thoughts and prayers to his family as they deal with that. That was the one thing I did want to make sure we did acknowledge, just because he did play for the Twins, even though it wasn't very long. I came across the wire this weekend. So
yeah, that's a bummer. 58. That's too young to me, in my mind.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, thoughts and prayers with his friends and family. And yeah, you know, I didn't know much about him. I was just kind of looking at his stats. I mean, he looked like he was definitely a speed guy, no power.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed like he hit the ball pretty decently. I mean, the guy had a 280 career average with a 360 on base, which to me is pretty respectable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He definitely stole a lot of bases.
Yep, he did. Yep. And you know, I've always liked that kind of player that was a speed demon like that. And so he's one. And back when in his prime, he was a guy, but I think we've mentioned him on the podcast because he's played with the Twins, although he was in his last year. Otis Nixon.
Oh, yeah. Old Otis.
You know, guy who he was a speed demon. And of course, guys like Ricky Henderson, although Ricky was the most complete player. Ricky, you know, when you think about it, Ricky Henderson may be the most complete player maybe I've ever seen, just because he literally could do it all. You know, he wasn't, you know, of course he's known for being the all-time stolen base leader, but he was no slouch other than that. You know, that's not the only thing he did. He had the most, I believe he has the record for most runs scored and most leadoff home runs and played forever. If it was up to him, he'd still be playing. He did not want to quit, that guy. He played after finally no major league team would sign him. I think he was like 40, 45 when that happened. He went on and he was like, I'm not done. I'm going to play some independent ball then. He played into his 50s, I think, before he finally was like, okay, all right, I'm done.
Nice.
He loved the game, whether you liked him or not, because Ricky could be a little showboaty. He was a guy who, for me, he's a guy, speaking of Ricky anyway, went from a guy who I absolutely did not like to a guy who I kind of enjoyed as I got older and understood that just the way he was. He was kind of a character. It was fun to watch, and not trying to compare Alex Cole to him, but just in the fact that they both had speed.
Yeah, most definitely.
They had in common. But other than that, I didn't really have much that we haven't touched on. I don't know if you did.
No, I think we pretty much hit on everything. So hopefully the Twins have a good week. So
yeah, and it's going to be a test, like we said. You know, like two first place teams. It's probably the toughest this next couple weeks, because they've got to play the Rangers two separate series. It's probably going to be the two toughest weeks they've got the rest of the season. So we'll see how they do. If the way things have gone is an indication, the fact that they're playing good teams might be good, because that's who they do the best against.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't understand it. They seem to play down to their competition or up to it. So maybe that'll mean good things. So, I guess if we can't think of anything more to add, I think we'll wrap it up, and we'll chat with y'all next week, and hopefully we're still happy bunch.
All right, have a good one, everybody.
Yep. Yeah. Everybody, take it easy. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Twins Nation Podcast. You can follow the show on Facebook and on Twitter. On Facebook, just search for Twins Nation Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Twins Nation Pod. And Joe is at Big Joe Gunn.